Welcome to the Solid Signal podcast for the week of April 8th, 2024. You know, it's just me this week. No interview subjects came forward last week, so I am looking actively for more people to interview. If you are interested, then just drop me a line, leave a comment anywhere you get this podcast, or use the contact the editor link down at the Solid Signal blog, blog.solidsignal.com. So I wanted to talk this week. You see, it's Monday as I'm recording this, which means that I'm less than 24 hours away from having seen the Curb Your Enthusiasm finale. We've all been down this road before, and yes, it's possible it's not the real finale. This is about the fourth, maybe fifth time that you've seen something, and it looked like, okay, this could be the very last episode of this show. But okay, he keeps coming back for more, and who's complaining? I wanted to take a minute and look back on the history of Curb Your Enthusiasm and why it's really a lot more influential television show than a lot of people realize. Because it's been around for so long, and the thing that made it so influential at the time is really nothing special today. And partially that's because the show itself was so successful. A lot of folks don't realize that the name Curb Your Enthusiasm comes from the original comedy special that Larry David did in the late 1990s. You got to understand, this was just a couple of years after Seinfeld ended. And you had a case where Larry David, who had always been kind of a behind-the-scenes guy at Seinfeld, wanted to be a little bit more visible. Larry David started out in comedy as a stand-up, and he was actually featured as part of the group cast of a show called Fridays, which was a Saturday Night Live competitor in the early 1980s. He appears in a small way in a couple of movies, too. So he obviously always had the performing bug, but when it came to Seinfeld, he was a behind-the-scenes guy for the most part. He did this special, Larry David Curb Your Enthusiasm, and the idea was unique at the time. It sort of was very metatextual. Instead of just being a stand-up special, it was a special about Larry David getting a stand-up special and what it took to produce that stand-up special. And it was all done for comedy. It was all done very improvisationally and seemed like a behind-the-scenes documentary. But in fact, it was really just all comedy. But that's what Larry David has always been about, has been being very experimental. We tend to not think about that today because he's been around for so long. And because a lot of the things that he did don't seem experimental now because he did them so well, as I said earlier. So then he did Seinfeld, and he got this HBO special. The HBO special was successful enough that it kind of became a backdoor pilot for a TV show by the same name. And Larry had an idea. And keep in mind, this was 1998, 1999 that we were talking about. And this was a very unique idea. The idea was to use a ton of cheap cameras and cheap videotape so that he could record things in real time with multiple cameras from multiple locations and capture a lot of the improvisational spirit that was taking place. Every episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm has a script outline, but most of them don't have a real script. Flashing forward, I really do think the finale had a real script, but I'm not 100% sure. It just seemed like it. You see, everybody involved in Curb Your Enthusiasm was a stand-up comedian or part of a comedy troupe very used to improvisation. And they found that they really got some amazing performances by doing things this way. Yeah, I mean, they took multiple takes and then they cut the best of it together. So really, the editing was where a lot of magic happened. But the very idea that you could take these people, let them improvise and turn that into something really, really funny was really very revolutionary 25 years ago. Today, a lot of shows kind of tend to be shot like that. You know, tend to be reality shows is what we call them. But the truth is that they are not reality. It's a lot of it is cut together based on what they get from multiple cameras. If you look at the first episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm, maybe the first two or three years, the video quality is, in fact, quite poor. And it's said that the first couple of years they used consumer-grade camcorders, and you can really, really tell that they did that. But it's still hilarious. As time went on, they were able to afford better equipment, which got cheaper anyway. And certainly by about 2010, the show was as good broadcast quality as anyone else's show. But they were still shooting with tons and tons of cameras, and that allowed them to get the kind of an improvisational nature, those unexpected funny things that you just wouldn't get otherwise. Now, a lot of people over the years have asked Larry David, is this just because you can't read a script or can't memorize? Is that the case? And he claims, no, it's just because that's the way they wanted to do it. Over the years, a lot of funny people have come in and out of that show. A lot of guest stars, far more than were shown on the season finale last night. But there have been a few that have really stood out for just the absolute quality of what they were doing. I have to bring up the late, great Bob Einstein, who played Marty Funkhauser and who you may have heard of in his role of Super Dave Osborne in the late 1980s and early 1990s. Bob Einstein was an incredibly experimental comedian, really way out on the edge. And he did some things in Curb Your Enthusiasm that I want to believe were so unexpected that they had to do multiple takes. The same thing with Susie Essman. Susie Essman obviously was not a well-known name at all when the show started, but became a well-known name for her ability to just let invective fly off her lips like crazy in ways that nobody expected. And when Susie went on Cameo, when that site first started, she found it amazing how many people would just pay to have her insult them. And I get it, too, because it's, you know, she's really, really, really good at it. And I don't know where that all comes from, but the show itself, built by some of these real comedy greats, and I should mention Richard Lewis, who recently passed away, and it's sad to say he did not look good for the rest, for the whole season there. I mean, I think that he was ill, but he did great work anyway. So let's kind of flash forward. I'm going to give you some spoilers for the finale of Curb Your Enthusiasm. If you haven't watched it yet, you might want to listen to this podcast a little later. It's very clear that the entire idea of the Curb Your Enthusiasm finale was to revisit the idea of the Seinfeld finale and how that worked or didn't work. So really, this became kind of a metatextual exploration of the Seinfeld finale and of Seinfeld as a whole, with the, you know, the character of Leon Black, played by J.B. Smoove, taking on that role of questioning what you do or do not like about Seinfeld. And because he kind of plays a character similar to Kramer, there was this very, very meta moment where he talks about how Kramer always busts in without knocking and how, you know, they should just take the door off, which is obviously something that the Leon character does as well. But going through all the way to the finale, this is not the first time that Curb Your Enthusiasm has revisited the idea of the finale. They did a whole season where they did the Seinfeld reunion. Very funny if you haven't seen it yet. So it goes back several years at this point. But clearly, a lot of people did not like the Seinfeld finale. I myself did not like the Seinfeld finale. And going back and trying to understand how it could have been done better, it's very clear to me that the ending of the Seinfeld show was, you know, it stung Larry David. It made him feel really unhappy about the whole experience. And this was partially a way for him to go back and do the finale in a way that he really wanted to. He brought back Jerry Seinfeld, and the way that they did end it, it's funny because they said, well, that's how we should have ended the finale. And that's, again, it's kind of very clearly Larry David revisiting what must have been a fairly uncomfortable point in his life. I want to give a side comment about that. You know, when the Seinfeld finale aired, it was preceded by, I want to say it was like a 90-minute clip show retrospective of Seinfeld. And so by the time the actual finale aired, I was so burned out on Seinfeld. And this was 1995. Yes, I had a VCR in those days. But really, most of the time, you just watch stuff live. So, you know, I and I think a lot of other people judged the finale very harshly because we were just tired of seeing so much Seinfeld at one time. And the legacy of the finale is really built on that initial impression. Now, I have to ask myself, is this how I would have ended Curb Your Enthusiasm? Well, what was left? I mean, Larry died and went to heaven in one episode. And in another episode, you know, he was a partner in a restaurant and they had, you know, the final scene of the restaurant was everybody kind of toasting each other. And that was a perfect finale. And, you know, even the end of the season where they did the producers, that was a perfect finale. The, you know, burning down Latte Larry's and Mocha Joe's, in a sense, was a great finale because it talked, you know, about the idea of just, you know, not being able to go back. So at that point, he's done so many finales. Well, you know, what was left? What was left? You know, he decided to revisit the Seinfeld finale. One more bit about that. A lot of people don't realize that the very last scene of the Seinfeld finale is the exact same script as the very first episode of Seinfeld that had aired in like late 1988, I think it was. And the reason that Elaine doesn't talk in the last scene of the finale in Seinfeld is because the Elaine character wasn't in the first episode of Seinfeld. Now, flashing forward at this point about 29 years, when Larry talks about the pants tent in the final bit of the finale and it pulls backwards, I don't think this was word for word. I'd have to go back and look. But that's exactly the subject that he started the very first episode on. So again, kind of meta revisiting the idea of how you do that finale. And it's in the middle of him kind of talking about that whole experience that Jerry Seinfeld himself shows up and the whole thing takes a different turn. So would I have done it differently? Maybe, but I got to tell you, I'm not sure what I would have thought of either. I guess I do want to end up by saying this, that I salute Curb Your Enthusiasm and Larry David. But, you know, I don't honestly believe that Larry David, the real person, is anywhere near as annoying as Larry David, the character, even though he himself would tell you that he is. He would tell you that he is an unlikable character. That's what he said in interviews and stuff like that. But his impact on television cannot be understated. Understated? Overstated? Whatever. Stated. You can't. The guy did a lot. I probably said that wrong, but not important. I'm not going to go back and re-edit it at this point. I mean, think about it. What he started with was something so experimental, so out there that most people wouldn't do it. You know, it came to the Seinfeld show, you know, famously it had gotten the very smallest series pickup ever up to that time. And today, you know, really short 4-episode, 8-episode series pickups are common. So that's another way that he was a pioneer, perhaps unintentionally. But the meta way that he dealt with things like, you know, having Jerry write a pilot on the show himself, and, you know, they just kind of reenacted the way that it happened, apparently. And all of the things that Seinfeld did that are just so normal sounding today, moving on to Curb Your Enthusiasm and the idea of just capturing the action as it happened and turning it into something compelling, that's just the way that reality television is done today. It's turned into a scripted kind of thing, even if it doesn't seem like it is. This guy has made a huge impact on television. I'm obviously not going to be the only person in the world who says this, but it's amazing to think just the sensibility that he brought to television and the way that we laugh today has so much to do with Larry David. And I hope at some point he is genuinely recognized up there with those greats of television. Like, for example, you know, Jack Benny, who really defined comedy for his era, or Ed Sullivan, who essentially defined variety television shows for basically forever. And so I hope that he is held up to that pantheon because he certainly deserves it. Cheers, Larry David. The odds are that you are not listening to this, but if you are, you've certainly got my respect for whatever that is worth. Anyway, that finishes up for the Solid Signal podcast this week. As always, like and subscribe. Leave a comment. It makes me look good to my bosses. Go ahead and shop at Solid Signal for everything you need to live your best digital life. And if you need the best support, then needless to say, call us at 888-233-7563. We are happy to help. Have a great week, and I will see you again next week.